I'm so ashamed of myself. So deeply ashamed in when it happens. I feel ashamed that it's happened again. Today I posted a picture of a couple of vibrators on YouTube with the following caption. A vibrator is a phallic-shaped personal massager that satisfies all of a lonely woman's needs that her cat either can't or won't. A little while later, I got a comment from one of my female friends. Way sexist. You're better than that. Peace. And I felt ashamed. Very ashamed. I've had some good conversations with this woman, and I really wanted to write something and say that I was just being funny. It was just a little joke. I mean, I respect some of her opinions. I've even talked to her about some men's rights stuff, but I guess I should feel ashamed for suggesting that a vibrator satisfies some of a woman's needs. Maybe it's because there are lonely women whose cats won't fuck them, or due to the finicky nature of felines, won't satisfy some other basic needs, such as that of companionship, conversation, or the desire to be told that she's a wonderful, special snowflake. I've had cats. They don't give a fuck about you. They stick around because you feed them, and because you're a larger, warmer mammal that has satisfied the basic requirements that the cat needs in order to sleep most of the day away. Come to think of it, they sound a lot like unemployed girlfriends from what I hear. Anyway, last week, I ran into a girl that I'd met on Plenty of Fish. I talked to her on the phone a few times, but we never actually met in person. I decided that I didn't want to bother because, frankly, I've swallowed so many red pills that some things now become glaringly obvious. Divorced after 19 years. The husband's idea, apparently. I guess he was going through some personal trauma and decided that he couldn't do what he wanted to do and be married at the same time. I could have told him that if he'd asked and saved him marriage. However, I'm going to make a basic assumption that a lot of men are like myself, and that knowing how hard it is to get a girlfriend, let alone a wife, and, heaven forbid, be fucking the same woman since Saturday Night Live was barely funny, that I would find it hard to jettison her because of personal trauma. At no point in her explanation of the divorce did she ever mention that there was anything wrong with her or what she did. Now, she then went on to mention Oprah and how 70% of black women in the U.S. were happy with their bodies, and that they had the highest self-esteem rating of any women in the U.S. I couldn't help myself and pointed out that 70% of black kids in the States are born out of wedlock, that 80% of black women are single, and that as a group, they suffer from the highest rate of obesity. I said that this says to me that even though the black women might be the happiest out of all women in the United States with the state of their bodies, it's clear that black men, as a group, aren't. I also said that black men as a group tend to have less money than other groups of men, and that generally, the broker the man, the bigger his woman. I challenged her to find one black guy who made it rich and then married a fat woman. Clearly, I had hit a cellulite-encased nerve, because the next day she sent me a text saying that she wasn't sure that she wanted to meet me because she was afraid that I was going to think that she was too fat. This, in point of fact, wasn't at all what she was worried about. She'd actually been counting on me being able to accept any woman who'd gone from elegant to elephant in the years in between ABBA and Skrillex. In any case, I decided that I didn't want to meet her. When she told me that she had to go on intravenous drip for a week due to some problems with her, as she put it, lady bits. The kicker was really the fact that her mother flew in from Arizona, and her father was driving up from Arizona to take care of their special 40-something snowflake. This spoke to me about a huge potential for problems with maturity, compounded by the fact that she wasn't making enough to support herself in the way that she wanted, as she put it. And, as she said, if she didn't get something going by September, she was going to have to take drastic action and get a full-time job. At this point, dear gentle listener, I could take no more, and I stopped calling her. When I ran into her, she introduced herself, and she told me that she was out celebrating her birthday with her friends. Now, my standard response when a woman tells me that it's her birthday is, "Happy 19th!" It's never failed to elicit a positive response. Until that night. You know how old I am. It's on my profile. It had truthfully been more than 6 weeks since I'd read her profile, and there was no way that I could have remembered. I guess the point of the comment was that she felt that she was important enough that I should remember the birthday of someone that I had spent a total of about 6 hours talking to on the phone the month before. In any case, she went back to her friends and I sat with mine, and that's when I felt it. Shame. I was ashamed that I hadn't called her since our last conversation. Never mind that she's a full-grown woman, and she could have picked up the phone. Now, I suppose it's hard to dial when you're a special snowflake, and all you can really do is hit the green icon on the screen when the phone rings. I felt badly for thinking that the 1950s skirt that she was wearing, while attempting to hide her enormous ass and potential gunt, was doing a terrible job. Actually, I felt sorry for the skirt. In the same way that you might feel sorry for a haystack concealing a tank moments after it realizes that it's too small to fully cover the tank, and a moment before the haystack and the unsuspecting occupants of the tank are blown to smithereens by a couple of shells from an observant Abrams. Anyway, the shame went away when I realized that I didn't have anything to be ashamed of. I didn't have to call her, and it's okay to decide that I don't want to meet someone. Until Monday, when Snowflake sent me a text. "Kind of funny meeting you on Saturday night. I know this is a douchey thing to do, but nothing to lose by asking, I reckon. So why'd you stop calling me? I kind of liked you." What? If it's douchey, then why are you doing it? You found it kind of what? Cerebral, stoic, exciting, delightful, disappointing, what? And congratulations. You kinda liked me. But no, really. Just enough to insert kinda. Like I kinda like broccoli. I kinda like chewing on broken glass. Or maybe I kinda don't like being the one being rejected. Kinda. I decided that I wasn't gonna take the bait and that what she was really trying to do was get me to reopen the discussion so that I suppose she could attempt to swat down any of my misgivings about her dead marriage, lack of motivation, and poor choice in skirts. Either that or call me an asshole and reject me first. Anyway, I wasn't too sure what I was going to do, and I decided I was going to give it some time, and that if I was going to answer, it would have to be so banal and saccharine that there really wouldn't be anything for her to be offended by or to object to. I really didn't have to worry about waiting. About 4 hours later, I got a second text. A cool guy would answer that message. A typical asshole would just ignore that message. Just saying. Now, let's take a look at what she's actually done. She's decided to be the arbiter of my behavior. If I get back to her, and obviously bow, scrape, grovel, and whatever else she may deem appropriate, then I'm cool. If I don't get back to her, then I'm simply an asshole. And the just saying, that's a passive-aggressive move, which is an attempt to shift what she's just said slightly away from herself so that if I call her on it, she can say, "Oh, I didn't mean to make you ashamed or angry or however you felt. I was just saying." Now, let's go back for a moment to the other message that my friend left me about vibrator gate. "Way sexist. You're better than that. Peace." In this message, calling me way sexist, she calls me an asshole first. In saying that I'm better than that, she's essentially saying that if I was cool, I wouldn't have said something like that. and the inclusion of peace serves exactly the same function as the phrase just saying, an attempt to shame me. And by adding the word peace, she can pretend that if I react, she didn't really want me to react in a particular way, which is, of course, bullshit. By now, you've figured out that the engine that powers both of these approaches is shame. Shame is highly effective in that the person issuing the shaming language or behavior is the one who gets to decide what's shameful or not. Shame-based arguments often have nothing to do with reason at all, which is why arguing against a shame-based attack using logic will almost always fail. Shame is based on what the other person deems is or isn't acceptable. Fucking your girlfriend on an IKEA lack design coffee table is acceptable. Fucking your girlfriend on an IKEA-designed lack coffee table in the middle of IKEA is not acceptable. As a MGTOW, learning to recognize shame-based language and behavior is crucial because once you do, they lose a lot of power over you. Shame relies on you doing what the other person wants through your own energy rather than their direct means. Once you can see shaming language for what it is, it's easier to deal with. In both of the above cases, I found, as is often the case, to not respond and to simply admit that I had the feeling and accept that the feeling itself won't kill me, just like the feeling of shame won't kill you. However, taking action on the feeling, such as flying an airplane into an aircraft carrier, ritualistically disemboweling yourself, or blowing the top of your head off with a grenade rather than being captured, just might. Crucially, remember that it's an attempt to manipulate you. The more you recognize it and deal with it on your own terms, the less effective it becomes. I hope this helps. And in one of the future lessons, I hope to cover guilt, shame's overambitious roommate.